presented by Tatva Care.
Hello, I'm Dr. J.C. Mohan. I'm a practicing cardiologist from New Delhi, and I'm also chairman of Institute of Heart and Vascular Diseases at Jaipur Golden Hospital, Rohini, Delhi. Today, we will be discussing about the role of saroglitazare in atherogenic dyslipidemia, more so in diabetic atherogenic dyslipidemia. As we know that cardiovascular disease are on the rise, and currently 29 to 30% of all adult deaths are as a result of vascular disease, largely because of coronary heart disease. And this number is steadily rising, and it has been estimated that in 2030, nearly 36% of the Indian adult population would have cardiovascular disease as the cause of mortality. The number one etiology or number one risk factor for atherosclerosis is dysmetabolism. Dysmetabolism involving the lipids and glucose. So essentially, dyslipidemia and dysglycemia combined play a very significant role in pathogenesis of atherosclerosis and occurrence of new vascular events. We have made significant progress as far as halting the progress of atherosclerosis is concerned and reducing the new vascular events. We have protective drugs like antiplatelet agents, statins, which lower essentially the LDL cholesterol, and anti-RAS agents, which also tend to ameliorate and decrease the progress of atherosclerosis. However, atherosclerosis continues to be a major issue even now, and it has been estimated that 60% of all vascular diseases which occur in the world occur in India. India happens to be the capital of diabetes and also the capital of dyslipidemia. The peculiarity of Indian dyslipidemia is that it is what we will call this Indian atherogenic dyslipidemia is characterized by high triglycerides, low HDL, relatively normal or slightly abnormal LDL cholesterol concentration. We're more of small, dense LDL cholesterol, little high LP, little A. So these are the, and all these are associated with insulin resistance, pre-diabetes and diabetes. So we have been looking for an agent for a long time which will address all these aspects of dysmetabolism. Any agent which can also take care of the insulin resistance, diabetes, at the same time address the issue of atherogenic dyslipidemia. We know that statins are powerful drugs, but these essentially lower LDL cholesterol. And despite that, there is a significant 50 to 60% residual risk. And to reduce this risk further, we need more pharmacological agents. And one of these pharmacological agents is saroglitazare, which has been developed in India, an extremely interesting and exciting molecule. Saroglitazare is both an alpha and gamma PPAR agonist, and hence not only improves the insulin sensitivity and hence reduces the chances of developing diabetes in from pre-diabetic status, but also helps in controlling diabetes to some extent. But its greatest role lies in effective control of atherogenic diabetic dyslipidemia by decreasing the triglycerides by 40 to 50%, improving the HDL level by 20%, decreasing the non-HDL cholesterol by about 25 to 30% and reducing LDL cholesterol by about 20%. The question in our mind is that why use seroglitazar in addition to statins? We have drugs beyond statins also like ezetimibe, PCSK9 inhibitors, inclisiran, which can reduce LDL further. It so happens that statins are pro-diabetogenic. Although these are extensively used, these tend to increase the chances of new onset diabetes. So we certainly need drugs which will not only decrease the chances of new onset diabetes, but also decrease total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, non-HDL cholesterol, and triglycerides. Fortunately, saroglitazar happens to be that molecule which is capable of doing all this, and it has been shown in multiple studies, both non-randomized and randomized, that not only saroglitazar reduces HbA1c by about anything from 0.4 to 1% in diabetics, and of course a little less in pre-diabetics, but also significantly reduces triglycerides, raises HDL level, and decreases the non-HDL cholesterol, the things which are important in Indians as far as the process of atherogenesis and vascular disease is concerned. There have been dual agonists earlier also. In fact, muraglitazar, eloglitazar were introduced in phase 2 trials and also in early phase 3 trials in the past. But unfortunately, these drugs were shown to increase cardiovascular mortality and cardiovascular events, and hence the development program for these agents was given up. Saroglitazar, on the other hand, is a unique molecule. It has a much more effect as a PPAR alpha agonist and a smaller effect as a PPAR gamma agonist. And by virtue of this unique ratio of alpha to gamma agonism, it not only is safe for cardiovascular system, but is also effective in improving insulin sensitivity and improving atherogenic diabetic dyslipidemia. And having now the large experience with this agent, for the last 4 years, I have extensively used this molecule both in diabetics and non-diabetics, and I'll tell you why in non-diabetics the drug has been used, although it may be an off-label indication. And the reason is very simple. By strong PPAR alpha agonism, the drug is capable of reducing triglycerides markedly. So people who have marked triglyceridemia, even though not having diabetes, the drug works very well and is able to reduce. In fact, some of our patients have shown a triglyceride concentration reduction as much as 80%. So we remain actually, and very high hypertriglyceridemia is dangerous, not only for pancreatitis, gallbladder, and cholecystitis, and of course, this milky serum actually also plays a role in atherogenesis. But people are terribly mortified when they see very large, very high triglycerides. Fortunately, the drug works so beautifully in lowering triglycerides without causing any serious side effects that we are enthusiastic about using this drug as an off-label anti-triglyceride agent. Now, what would be the scope and what would be its place, what would be the niche of saroglitazar is a question which a lot of people have been asking. One of the interesting things is, unlike glitazones, pioglitazone, rosiglitazone, which actually increase fluid and salt retention, increase the chances of hospitalization for heart failure, saroglitazar has none of these properties. You do not see weight gain, you do not see fluid retention, you didn't see salt retention. The data so far hasn't shown any increase in adverse effects related to cardiovascular or renal system, as was the case with the essentially PPAR alpha agonists like fenofibrates. So we were talking about the niche. Obviously, the niche lies in management of atherogenic diabetic dyslipidemia after statins. Now, after statin, we have choices. The choices are in the form of saroglitazar, in the form of ezetimibe, in the form of PCSK9 inhibition. And then, of course, we have new drugs which are monoclonal antibodies against angiopoietin-like 3 agents. Some of these are not available. Ezetimibe is available. PCSK9 inhibitors are available. And, of course, saroglitazar is available. Of all these, ezetimibe lowers LDL cholesterol by about 20%, but has very marginal effect on triglycerides. Also, ezetimibe has no effect on insulin sensitivity. PCSK9 inhibitors are to be used parenterally, expensive agents, but only lower the LDL cholesterol because these are monoclonal antibodies against PCSK9 protein. So the issue of HDL triglycerides still remains, and it is our view, and epidemiologic data also supports it, that peculiar Indian atherogenic dyslipidemia plays a much significant role in occurrence of vascular disease in this country. So saroglitazar has a unique position because both aspects of this metabolism are taken care of. And hence, I and many of my colleagues use saroglitazar immediately after statin or along with statin. We know statins are not perfect. We know saroglitazar is not perfect. It doesn't lower LDL cholesterol to that extent as statins do. Statins don't lower triglycerides to that extent as saroglitazar does. Statins are pro-diabetogenic and saroglitazar is anti-diabetogenic. So both of these actually fit each other admirably as a combination for management of patients at high risk of vascular disease or established atherosclerotic vascular disease and diabetes and pre-diabetes and or insulin resistance. Niche area definitely is all diabetics. So roughly at this moment, 50% of the patients with atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease who visit cardiologists have diabetes. And the prevalence of diabetes in cardiac patients is increasing. We are also aware of the fact that these individuals actually have what we will call hyporesponse to statins in about 40% of the individuals. You do not achieve, despite maximum doses of statins or maximally tolerated doses or high intensity statins, an LDL below 70, leave aside achieving 55 milligram or less, which are the new ESC 2019 targets, and of course, Lipid Association of India talking about less than 50 milligram target in known atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and with diabetes. So we have now an agent which we can combine with statin and which will help in further achieving the goals as far as LDL is concerned, improving the insulin sensitivity and reducing the chances of developing new onset diabetes and also control of diabetes to a modest level. For control of diabetes, we are not suggesting that this is a first-line drug, but for atherogenic diabetic dyslipidemia, it certainly serves very well as a second-line drug after statins. So all in all, saroglitazar is a useful agent in our therapeutic armamentarium, and we should actually use it more often to help our patients. You might say we don't have any randomized outcome data with saroglitazar, and all data which we have got is essentially from non-randomized observational studies. We definitely have randomized data as far as surrogate endpoints are concerned, which could include fatty liver disease. We also have interesting data on small LDL reduction, which occurs significantly with saroglitazar, as shown in Glitter study. And of course, the series of the press studies clearly showed that triglyceride reduction is much, much better than other agents, especially fenofibrate. So although we don't have outcome data, the surrogate data, the surrogate outcome data is so compelling that I would suggest that as a second line to all these situations which I have enumerated earlier, we should be using saroglitazar. Top it all, it is relatively inexpensive molecule. It has to be taken once a day. It doesn't have any serious adverse effects, doesn't have drug-drug interactions, can be given in individuals who are statin intolerant, statin hyporesponders, as well as individuals who are prone to develop diabetes. So the scope for saroglitazar is wide, and it is going to expand as we get new data on things like NASH. We get new data as far as the other things are concerned, like the effect on Lp(a). All in all, it seems to be an exciting molecule to be used in patients with the kind of dysmetabolism which we see in Indian patients. Thank you very much.
Presented by Tatva Care.